another day, another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream and you can holler.
Hey, this is Jack Spirko with another edition of the Survival Podcast. One man's view of the changing world and the changing economic times and the things that we can do to live a better life if times get tough or even if they don't. Folks, you got me here in the afternoon for a change. I'm southbound, heading back down to Arlington from Frisco, Texas. Sunny day here in Dallas at 101 degrees is what the car's thermometer says anyway. As I was tied up in traffic, pulled out some notes I'd made earlier and decided to see if I could get a quick podcast in today. I don't know if I'll publish this one tomorrow or if maybe I'll hold this for my vacation on Friday, because I think it's going to be a short one. I think it's going to be an interesting one. And what I want to talk to you guys about today is what's the actual monetary value of a small home garden. And I don't mean a huge garden. I'm talking about maybe growing some peppers, some corn, some potatoes, some zucchini, some tomatoes, some green beans, and some common, you know, salad greens. Everything from mustard greens to, some romaine lettuce and baby lettuce and different, maybe some spinach and stuff like that. The stuff you buy in a bag at the store, mixed greens type of arrangement. Now, if you think about it, that's just not a huge order to grow that much food. And I'm going to throw some very conservative numbers out here for you on the production side of things. And the pricing that I have, I actually today, during lunch, on the way back to the office, I went by Tom Thumb, local grocery store, and got some pricing out of there. I had to do some calculations with weight and all to figure out a per unit price on some things. But these are real numbers. These are some real numbers. And let's just run through this thing and see how this works out as a podcast. The first item that I have on the list is green peppers. And I tried to pick plants that I thought would grow in most of the country and that most people generally eat and commonly purchase from the store. Now, green peppers, when I decided that would be a plant, maybe we'd throw 6 plants out there in the garden. And I planned on every year getting 8 peppers per plant. That's pretty conservative. A good pepper plant will generally produce more than 8 peppers. But today, when I went in the store, green peppers were on sale at the store for $1.29 a pepper. And times 48 peppers, that would be $61 in green peppers from 6 pepper plants, with a conservative estimate, again, of 8 peppers per plant through an entire season, which, again, is quite conservative. I also figured maybe we'd throw 2 plants in that we would grow red peppers with. We'd grow a variety of pepper that was a little bit better about staying on the vine, or maybe instead turning red, or maybe we'd just take some of our green peppers and leave them there, and we'd have 2 more plants. They would also produce 8 red peppers a year. And the red peppers were selling for $2.29 a pepper. So that would be another $36 in pepper. So we're already up over $90 just by growing 8 pepper plants. $90 from 8 pepper plants. I know it sounds crazy, but I mean, if you pay the food bill every week and you start thinking about this stuff, it starts to add up really quick. Moving on to corn. Now, I know everybody won't grow corn. I figured it would be a good thing to put in there because anybody that listens to this that actually has a garden is going to go, well, I also grow this, I also grow that. And corn's relatively inexpensive. And here's what I planned on with corn. I planned on a little plot, a little square plot, maybe even a couple Three Sisters gardens or something like that, and growing 40 corn plants, but 2 crops a year, growing a spring early season crop and a fall late season crops for a total of 80 cobs of corn. And I actually figured on growing 50 and having 10 of the plants not make it, because corn in the heat tends to fall off. You lose some plants and maybe a couple cobs get tore up. So actually having 40 plants of 50 survive, 2 crops a year, 80 ears of corn. Corn was 4 for $2 today, 50 cents an ear, okay? That comes out to $80 worth of corn a year from 2 little corn plots. Potatoes, You can grow as much potatoes as you want, folks. I mean, potatoes are one of the easiest things in the world to grow. If you wanted to produce 100 pounds of potatoes a year, you could do it. If you wanted to produce 200 pounds of potatoes, and you could do it. I mean, there's a lot of ways to grow potatoes. One of my favorite ways is just using some old tires and slowly building them up, and maybe I'll do a show on that. But if you Google growing potatoes in tires, you'll see there's a way to do that. It's pretty simple. Basically, you take a tire, you put some potato seed in it, and you fill up that tire. And once the plant grows up a few inches higher than the level of dirt on that tire, you add another tire and you start adding dirt, and you keep doing that. And you can grow that fairly deep. And when you're ready to harvest, you just pull the tires off, shake the dirt out, and harvest your potatoes. And I've seen people online grow one stack of tires to produce 70 pounds of potatoes. I was thinking, well, how many pounds will an average family use? And I figure most people could easily use 50 pounds. So that's what I went with. And today, and long story short, potatoes were selling for about $1 a pound. So 50 pounds of potatoes, $50. Pretty simple. I threw in zucchini. You know, zucchini is a crop that if you can't grow zucchini, I mean, you got to look at what you're doing. I haven't seen many people that can't grow zucchini. I figured planting 6 zucchini plants and getting 12 zucchinis per plant. Folks, that might sound aggressive. It's not. I end up throwing zucchinis at people by the end of the season because the plants are so prolific. And came up with a figure on that of 72 zucchinis, being about $57 worth of zucchini. And that was based on a price of about $1.80 a pound for zucchini is what I saw today, and figuring about a half a pound each. So you can let them get bigger than that, but that's about the right size to go ahead and pick them when they weigh about a half a pound. So there's another $57 in zucchinis. Tomatoes, I found a price per pound that was, I don't remember what it was, what I have down is, I ended up calculating it out to costing you about $1.50 per tomato to buy big tomatoes. And tomatoes, I figured just 4 plants, all right, and getting 12 tomatoes a plant. Folks, that is so underestimated. I mean, 12 tomatoes off a plant is nothing. But again, I wanted to be as conservative with this as possible. If you plant 4 tomato plants, get 12 tomatoes per plant, it's 48 tomatoes or $72 worth of tomatoes a year out of your garden. Greens. Now, greens are a little bit harder to price out because, you know, you can buy a head of lettuce really cheap. You can buy romaine lettuce fairly cheap, and then some of the other greens are more expensive. Well, all I did was decide, well, okay, could you take half the year, 25 weeks a year, and produce enough mixed greens out of a very small plot to make up one of those fancy little bags of various mixed greens, you know, do succession planting, plant some plants, wait 2 weeks, plant some more plants, wait 2 weeks, plant some more, maybe grow some in containers, whatever, to produce 2 bags of those a week. And I thought, not only could you do 2 bags a week, it'd be easy. The danger is you plant too many of them and you get more than you can use. So at 2 bags a week, the price of a bag of that stuff was $3.69. Times 25 weeks at 2 bags a week, or 50 of them, is $184 worth of greens. $184 is the most expensive single line item on my list. $184. And that would be easy to do. And if you eat 2 salads a week like that, you're $184 richer for not spending the money to buy it. And then green beans. I went way conservative on green beans. I figured, could you get 10 harvests valued at about $2 a harvest? They had fresh green beans for about $1.99 a pound. Green beans are really easy to grow. You can blow this figure away. We just threw $24 worth of green beans coming out of that. And what does that all add up to? $566.66. That's 666 is a little scary if you're Book of Revelation type person, but I'm not really worried about numerology. That's just what it came out to, about $566. A year from one small garden. Now, adding a few more plants in, being a little less conservative, being a little bit more aggressive, producing a little bit more, it would be easy to double that and have a garden produce $1,000 of food a year for you. Now, $1,000 back in the family budget would go a long way every year for a lot of people. I mean, for a lot of people, to cover their auto insurance or some other major expense, or just put another $1,000 a year in cash reserves, or put another $1,000 a year into making survival preparations, or putting an extra $1,000 in savings away toward buying that eventual dream home or retreat type thing. It's in essence, the work that you do pays itself back by making you feel better and keeping you in better shape, making you more prepared. And having that garden in case you get to a point one day where you can't get food because of either a disaster, emergency, or just because of the loss of a job and you're short on funds. So it's a fail-safe as well. But I guess I just wanted to point out, you know, in today's show that you're talking about $1,000 there that you can create from the ground that exists around your home. And you can easily do more if you really wanted to. But even that really small garden, that very conservative estimate right there is $500. So, you know, that's part of why that gardening's taken off the way that it has lately. And it's something I think you really should consider. And, you know, kind of expanding on all this, you know, what happens if we start taking this to another level with more of what I would call permanent crops or permaculture crops? We start adding a little bit more in there. Let's just consider, you know, if we planted a couple peach trees, for instance, how many peaches you get off a couple of mature peach trees. And the beauty of them is, unlike the garden, you have to go out and weed and compost, fertilize, and work on it. Once you get trees established, they produce every year on their own. Another thing you might consider is a few grapevines, and that'll produce some grape for you, either for the table or maybe for making a little bit of wine. I mean, I really enjoy homemade wine. I make it out of quite a few different things. And maybe you, let's say we go just a little bit beyond that, and we set ourselves up a little patch that produces asparagus. It'll probably take you a couple of years to get asparagus off the ground, but once you get it going, it kind of comes back every year on its own without having to replant it. You just go out and harvest it, and maybe you do that with strawberries as well. Now, strawberries, that's something you really have to, if you want to do strawberries the right way, you do a little bit of balancing, get your soil the right way, make sure you get it the right pH and things like that. But you can plant strawberries in a patch where you have them, where they harvest early and late, so you get a long, extended duration harvest. And strawberries are quite expensive. You start doing things like that, and it's real easy, even in suburbia, to pick your production up to a couple $1,000 worth of food a year, maybe $1,500 to $2,500 worth of food a year. And now you really start to have not just a situation where you're spending less money, but you're getting your home into that homestead kind of real status where your property is providing for you. And every dollar that you don't spend in the system is a dollar that's available to help free you from it, to either pay on debt, to buy property, to establish investments or cash reserves, because survivalism, folks, is not just about the apocalypse, right? It's not just about economic meltdown. It's not just about bird flu. It's about getting yourself into a situation where you can be in the system as little as possible, because the system is what we're all really trying to eke out our survival from and to get away from. I mean, there's a reason that you're interested in this stuff. It's beyond just fear, right? People think that we're afraid that, you know, everything's going to be terrible if we don't prepare for stuff, and that, you know, the Road Warrior type movie scenario is going to happen, or, you know, the day after type scenario where the climate change comes and wipes out everything, and that's the only reason to do this. The real reason that the survivalist community is interested in this is because we've all latched on to a fact here. The fact is that modern civilization, as wonderful as it is in some ways, has also put people into a role of having to live lives doing things they would prefer not to do. If you think about it, not that long ago, 10,000 years ago, when mankind just kind of roamed the earth as hunter-gatherers and did a little bit of agriculture to provide for the times when there wasn't food out there. There was hard times because when something failed, it was bad. Thousands of people could die. But when times were good, and there were centuries of good times, for every 5 years of bad times, there were centuries of good times, times of plenty. Man didn't have to work real hard to earn his daily bread. You know, man didn't have to try that hard. Man did what he wanted. If you look at the Native American society here in North America, for instance, nobody got up every day and punched a time clock. And a big part of this survivalist movement is when we started to realize that Social Security, right, taxes, motor fuels taxes, concrete roads that lead to and from our offices, big suburban homes, that they're all part of the cause of this problem in the first place. And that's why some of us have a little inkling in us that actually says, you know, I hope someday it does happen. There's probably a part of you that feels that way. Oh, and if you don't, if you say there isn't, I want to challenge you to really think about it right now. Just for a second, just think, does part of you really want to see at least some components of this system fall down? Does part of you want to see us stop pumping billions and billions of gallons of oil from parts of the world that hate us, pay exorbitant fees from it, and you know I'm not a big global warming guy, but you know what? The stuff that comes out of your tailpipe isn't really good for the environment. It's not good. It's not healthy. You wouldn't stick your mouth over the end of that exhaust pipe and breathe it into your lungs. It would kill you. So we know overall it's not good. The question is how bad. Do you want to see that come down? Do you want to see a government that has gotten its people into a point where they work half the year falter? Do you want to see a government that stops listening to its people and what they really want? Does part of you want to see? You know, for different people, it's a different thing that makes you want to see it fall down. For the environmentalist, it's the pollution. For the patriot, it's a return to liberty. Okay? And for the general person that just feels like no matter how hard I work, I can't get ahead, it's a return to fairness. And inside of most people, there's a little part of them that are interested in this stuff that wants to see the failure because of what it would mean after we went through the hard times. You want to see a new United States, if you're an American. I know I got people listening all over the United States, but a lot of people want to see a new United States that looks an awful lot like the original United States, one that was governed by the Constitution. There's people that are into this survivalist movement that are actually, you know, would like to see their state or some number of states secede from the Union. Not quite going that far myself personally, but I understand why people feel that way. And again, it's because there's some part of us that looks at everything around us and goes, this is just wrong. People that are forced into careers they've not had in this consumer-driven society. And I don't know how I got off on this, but it seems like a pretty good topic. Because it all does go back to the land and to the earth and to being able to produce for yourselves. You see, the reality is that humans, to be happy, don't need an awful lot. Generally speaking, humans to be happy need a general sense of safety. We need a good structure or shelter to live in that provides for environmental protection in all our needs. We need to be able to feed ourselves well and eat good on a daily basis. We need water that's clean to drink that provides for our needs. And if we have those things and we have freedom and a sense of purpose and a sense of community, most people are very, very happy. But what's happened is this consumer-driven society, they keep taking and waving shiny things in front of people, and they give you a shiny credit card to get the shiny thing so you can live in a shiny prison. And a garden is one step toward freeing yourself, and in this case, we've shown that even that small garden plot is worth about $560 toward freedom from that shiny prison. And those shiny debts and those shiny credit cards. So I think that even though we're still right around the 20-minute mark today, and that's about 10 to 20 minutes less than the usual show, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up with that. Because it's as good a place as any to wrap up. And I don't need to go 30 minutes just to go 30 minutes. I want to give you guys, you know, relevant information and things that you want to hear and be engaging and hopefully a little bit entertaining. But I really challenge you again to think about a couple things. One, think about the part of you that wants to eventually see some level of collapse. I mean, you want to be able to survive it. You want to be able to do well. And you probably don't want to see the misery it's going to create for people. But there's probably a little piece of you that wants that. Think about that, because it'll uncover a lot of your motivations. And it may lead you to the theme of this show, living a better life if times get tough or if they don't. Because the reality is many people that are attracted to this movement, what you really need to do is to figure out how. Whatever it is you have to do, whatever level of sacrifice that you have to make, but how to find happiness. How to find happiness with as little dependence on the system as possible. That's really what motivates a lot of folks into this movement. If I get prepared and it comes, I'll be able to find that. Well, figure out your pathway to that. And ask yourself, you know, in the theme of today's show, is a garden part of that? And I think for a lot of people it is. I think when you put your hands down into the dirt, and you feel the earth in your hands, you realize that man was put here to live close to the earth. Not necessarily to be, you know, a peacenik and a hippie and whatever. I don't have anything against those groups. I mean, that's not me. But what I'm saying is to care about the plant, to care about the earth, to be connected to it, you don't have to be that. It's not all about beatniks and bead-wearing hippies, right? To understand that underneath your feet, it's earth that can produce for you, that we're part of that system. That is the true system that we should be part of. Right? That doesn't require you to be some fringe element. It just requires you to be in touch with what you are as a human being. If you think about it, if you drop a person out in the middle of nowhere, generally they'd figure out how to survive if they had to. Because we did. That's where our societies came from. People came together and built something. Think about that. And again, think about the freedom that comes from producing your own food, and think about more and more ways that you can do that, how you can harness the land to do it. Again, I'd like to remind you that we do have a listener appreciation contest going on. If you like what you've heard today, if you like what you heard in the past, please tell others about it. And if you click on listener appreciation contest at the website, you'll be taken to a page where you can register with a simple form for that. And somebody around October 1st and possibly before is going to win a free iPod Nano. And I'm going to be giving out some cool other prizes. Also, please comment and make suggestions for new shows on the site. If today wasn't your cup of tea, don't worry. I try to keep the subject matter varied. I do everything from guns to politics to some just basic survival planning, food storage, financial planning, you name it. If it involves becoming more self-sufficient, if it involves preparing for hard times, and if it involves creating a lifestyle for yourself that leads to the true liberty of the human condition, then it's here. So if this wasn't the perfect show for you, tune in tomorrow and tune in the next day and there might be something else for you. And get involved in the discussion that's going on. Scan the other episodes and look at the comments that other listeners are making and comment back and forth amongst yourselves because, as I said on a previous show, this is a lot like talk radio except for the fact that you can't call in and I can't take your calls. And that's a big part of successful talk radio. So for now, the commenting is all that we have for that. Eventually, I do want to have listeners on the show as well. So again, thank you for tuning in. And remember, here at the Survival Podcast, where our mission is to help you live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't.
You can scream and you can holler. It really doesn't matter, 'cause it all gets spent.